From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome everyone back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, what we do, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. We got some playoff games to recap. We're going to take a long time going over each and every one of David's correct picks against the spread.
There are many.
Okay, we're done. So we'll do that.
Look, we got to start with the big news. Yesterday was Ryan's birthday.
Oh.
And I preemptively was giving him his gift this birthday of getting all of my picks wrong. And
oh,
I think
true.
That was kind and selfless of me. I didn't want to say anything. I wanted it to be a surprise. But that was my intention. That was what I did. There you go.
Well, I appreciate that. Mm. Thank you very much. We are live on YouTube. I'm not sure if I can pull up the comments. Let's see. Hopefully they'll start coming up if you guys are going to get into the chat and do some comments and stuff.
Somebody else noticed the haircut?
I got the haircut. Yeah. Birthday, pre-birthday haircut. Yeah, and it was my birthday. So I am 54 years old, David.
Damn.
Old MF. 55 is going to be a weird one because that's like a thing where you get to like discounts at like, you know,
restaurants. Oh, yeah. You could do like AARP stuff. And yeah.
I think AARP is 50. It's not even 55.
Damn.
But I think like if you want to get like a discount at Golden Corral or something, it's like 55.
That's awesome.
So, I don't know where one of those is.
Are you going to be using that?
I mean, I should. Like,
yeah.
Screw it.
It's a deal.
It's a year away. So, all right. Well, we got a lot to get to today. If you have questions for us, big10cast@gmail.com. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678 or tweet us at B1G Podcast. We do love getting the reviews on Spotify and Apple. Well, there are ratings there for both, but on Apple, we can get reviews. I don't think we got any new ones. I'm going to give you an incentive to leave a review for the Podcast of Champions on Apple Podcasts. To the point where like you should probably go buy an iPhone if you don't have one.
Yeah.
Just so you can leave a review.
It's worth it.
It is worth it because our buddy, our friend over at Trader Joe's, John Abrea, give him a word. Shout out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's pretty amazing because we got some awesome gift cards incoming. He said he was going to give, I think it was 10 or 12 gift cards, but the dollar value was going to equal the amount of points, moist points, that Ohio State scored in its bowl game and its playoff game at home against Tennessee, and we don't want to like spoil anything, but they whipped that ass, 42 points.
And it could have been quite a bit more.
Yeah, I think they heard about the gift card thing, so they just sort of backed off.
They played, I think, four different quarterbacks in this game, just kind of, you know, feeling it out at the end there.
Crazy. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. We will have, and I don't think the comments are working right now. I'll try to play with that.
I mean, I can see them.
Yeah, I can see them. I'm just like, for me to put them up on the screen, I don't know if that's going
to
be happening.
Probably need to get a better piece of software, don't you think?
Yeah, that's
about time.
Yeah, should maybe we could go halvesies on it.
I mean, I already bought that one, so is your turn.
Okay. That was a birthday present or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we'll have $42 gift cards to give away. I still have some 31s, I think a couple 31s left for when Washington only allowed 31 points to Indiana. So yeah, we got some gift cards. So leave us a review. That would be awesome. We would appreciate it very much. And if they're very good, and we'll be selective for these ones, like we're going to send you $42 from Trader Joe's for nothing, you know? So make them funny and, we read them. We love them. We will send you a gift card. I think I still have one to send. I think we got an, message from somebody. Oh, from Aaron. Yeah. So Aaron sent in, he sent it to the wrong email address. Send it to Ryan at USCFootball.com, but that's fine. I forward it to myself, and I will send you a gift card probably after the holiday. Happy holidays, everybody, too.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, so we got to recap three games. We'll preview three bowl games, and we'll come back next week. I'll be coming back on Saturday, David, So it might have to be like an afternoon thing or whatever. I'll try to leave in the morning, coming back from Vegas.
Oh, another vacation.
No, covering a bowl game.
Oh, wow.
USC's playing a bowl game.
Yeah, famously not a vacation.
Vegas is definitely never any fun to have in Las Vegas. We're going to do another tailgate at the – they're not allowing like tailgates apparently. Like there's only – the lot only opens 2 hours before. Parking over there is terrible, like Allegiant. So if you're going to be in Vegas over at Mandalay Bay at Flanker, the sports bar, basically you just walk right to the game afterwards. If you're going to be around, I think about 3:30 on Friday, we will be there having a tailgate party in a bar. So it should be a lot of fun. So we had a great time at the LSU one. It was packed. Another opportunity to do it again. So hopefully you can come out there. I'm trying to get David to come out for the game.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you should.
Yeah.
It's good. Welcome back Saturday. We'll preview the remaining playoff games and all of that coming up next week, like over the weekend, I guess. So it would be in a few days. But for now, we got three games to recap. I want to let everyone know we did make our picks against the spread. If you saw, there were some big spreads and all of the favorites won and covered in all four playoff games, I believe. I think Texas did too. So our picks weren't great, but the important thing is the one I got different than David, I got it right, and he got it wrong. So I was 1-2, he was 0-3.
But it was such a close game. It could have gone either way.
Yes, that was obviously very close. No, nothing was close. They all sucked, but whatever.
Terrible football game.
But if you want to bet them, if you want to get in the action, obviously if you just went against David, you would be 3-0 going in this one over at MyBookie. So go check it out there. You know, you got to make he's had some great weeks. Some bad weeks, so like the 0-for week is pretty bad. But you want to do what you feel. Like when you listen to David's explanation or my explanation of why we picked the game.
That's never a good idea. Don't go with that because I always sound more convincing than you.
You do sound more convincing, yeah.
Even if it's absolutely just horseshit. It's my one great gift and curse is that I will always sound very convincing saying it.
You'd be like you're good on the debate team and stuff.
Yeah, I would crush.
Yeah. But if you – so – try to like, you know, resist David's charms. If you agree with him on merit or not on his delivery, then maybe just bet with him or you could go against him if you don't believe him. You would have done very well this last week. But you can go to MyBookie and our promo code is POC, Podcast of Champions. You could use the old one too, Pac-12, but POC and you will get a 100% initial deposit match. So, and if you haven't gone over there and checked it out, you could put in $100 and you would get $200. And make your bets on the games we pick or NFL or whatever you want to do. You can bet all that stuff. There's casino in there. You can do blackjack, things like that, which is a lot of fun. I played some blackjack in there, and it was cool just to get in there, just get the little Vegas feel, which I will be in Vegas coming up, so that should be a lot of fun. But remember, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at my bookie.
Beautiful read. We also got some important stuff in the chat.
Oh, let me look.
That is a... two West Texas Mikes, I believe.
Dang.
Exchange rates from West Texas Mike. He says, West Texas Mike for Ryan's birthday and a West Texas Mike for David's upcoming pot of gold. Though as a Trojan fan, I don't want there to be this many pot of golds in a football season, to be honest. Wow. Thank you, West Texas Mike. You are a mensch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, I can't put him up on the screen. It's not working right now. So, yeah. I blame my excess drinking on my birthday. So maybe I'm not sharpest right now. So can't drink as much as I used to, David.
No, that's probably good.
Yeah. But you'd think if you'd be smart enough. At one point I had a good IQ. I don't know.
You know what the weird thing is about drinking?
What?
it doesn't make you smarter.
No.
It's really strange. And the more you drink, the worse your decisions get.
Yes.
So weird how this works.
It's the point now where I'm like, okay, just don't get too drunk, you know.
That's the problem, right? Because as you drink, you make worse decisions.
Yes.
And your choices get worse and worse.
Yeah.
So I think there's a clear solution here. Don't put any limitations on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. We have to get through these games, and I think we'll just go in order of which they were played. Does that make sense to you?
Makes total sense to me.
Mr. Woods. Okay, so first up, we had the very first ever expanded college football playoff game. Friday night, crazy atmosphere. It was number 10.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
Taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Give me that pot of gold. This game was, it's a deceptive final score.
Very.
Ryan.
If you watch the last 5 minutes, you're like, man, wow. Indiana's good.
Notre Dame won 27-17. Indiana scored 14 points in the final. Let me just pull this sucker up. In the final minute and 27 seconds of the football
game. Not even 5 minutes, yeah.
No. I don't want to focus too much on this game because it's sad. But I will say Indiana from the start, and this may have just been an aesthetic thing, they looked way colder than Notre Dame did. Like, they looked more uncomfortable in, like, the cold conditions. Like, Curtis Rourke looked like he had not warmed up. Like, everything was a little stiff. Like, that interception he threw on the second drive for Indiana where he just led the receiver way too far into the inside, it was a throw you don't see him make, and he didn't see him make. And I don't know how much of it was rust from, because he was kind of dinged up at the end of the year, versus just being frigid out there. But he didn't look good for a long, long time in this game. The run game was okay for a stretch at the beginning, especially. But by and large, Notre Dame just dominated this game. I mean, they were able to run the ball. They were, you know, semi-effective passing it. But defensively, they just sat on Indiana and they couldn't do anything. And then Kurt Cignetti, I think, got rattled himself by the end because he had the surrender punt when they were at midfield on 4th and 11 with 10:34 to go. I mean, yeah, it's 4th and 11, but you're down by 24 points, dude. You got to go.
There was another one,
too. Down by 17 points. Sorry. Yeah. You got to go.
I think it was 14-0. Maybe, I forget, maybe 10, I don't know. And he kicked a field goal, too. It was like 4th and 3 or something. The first field goal and the only field goal that Indiana scored.
Yeah, and it was a 4th and 4, yeah. And that
I was like, you're not going to win this game by kicking field goals. You know, like, you needed to score a touchdown.
It should have been obvious at that point, too. Because, I mean, Notre Dame, it's not like they were, like, just gangbusters, but they were moving the ball okay. They had had, I mean, just a couple of drives previous, they'd had a 16-play, 93-yard touchdown drive.
Yeah.
Took 9 minutes off the clock. You can't, if Notre Dame is capable of putting that drive together at any point in the game, you can't kick field goals.
Yeah.
You just can't, because they're going to sit on you and sit on the ball, and if they can run it like that, you're in deep shit. I thought early Indiana's defense actually wasn't bad. I mean, they gave up that one huge bust on the early touchdown.
98 yards.
But forcing a 93-yard drive, yeah, you didn't get them off the field. But, you know, force a team to be efficient. Eventually, they're going to make a mistake. I didn't hate that. I think they just got worn out. Offensively, this is where the game was lost. They couldn't do anything until it was way too late.
Yeah, the early stuff where you sort of – Indiana kind of got going against Ohio State early and then didn't do anything. Well, I think Indiana started 3 and out on this one, and they got the ball first. But then you get the interception. Riley Leonard throws the pick, and there's Indiana can do this. They didn't do anything on offense, but boom, they get the ball back. And then, you know, Rourke throws that pick. And I think it was down to like the two, right? Is that the word?
Yeah, they had it very, very. I mean, the ball was thrown to the two. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. So
it was a 1st and 10. Like, it was just the kind of throw that, like, do you need that one right there?
No, you could have thrown it away if it wasn't there, or
it was kind of there. He threw it really poorly.
Yeah.
And again, that's like just kind of a one off where you don't see that so often. So it makes me think it was the beginning of the game and it was friggin' cold out there, man.
It was. And then obviously the backbreaker is when you're backed up to the two and you're hoping maybe a safety, maybe good field position. Like, nope, 98 yards. Yeah. You're like, rut-row. Yeah, that was
huge swing.
That was and I think at that point you sort of knew like, ooh, this is bad. So I think maybe it was only 7-0. I forget when Indiana kicked the field goal, but I remember thinking like,
well, frankly, on the next drive, they punted on a 4th and 8 at the, I think, Notre Dame 37. And it's just like, you're not trying to win this game right now.
That was a weird
one. I thought it was a poorly coached game from Cignetti. And that's unfortunate because I think he's done a lot of really, really good work there. But I thought it was – I thought he got tight in the big moment. They couldn't play this game tight. Notre Dame has so much more talent than they do. They had to be free and easy. And I think they were very tight. People like talk a lot about his essentially shit talking before games and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's partly him trying to, you know, get these guys up for these sorts of games. Because it seemed like they were very, very, very tight. And maybe he was kind of recognizing that. I don't know. Because like I've heard interviews with him where he sounds like an arrogant, you know, so-and-so. And then I've heard him where he sounds like a completely reasonable guy. And I don't know how much of it's a put on, like just to kind of, you know, a lot of coaches coach through the media sometimes. So I don't know how much of it is that. Anyway, Indiana went 11-2 this year. They made the college football playoff. That is...
freaking amazing.
It's probably, I don't know. I don't know ancient history, but it's got to be their best modern season ever. Good on them. They've got a good thing going there. Now it's just a matter of reloading, getting a good quarterback in there. Sounds like they're doing well with Fernando Mendoza, but get another good quarterback in there and see if you can rebuild this thing.
So I took Notre Dame, lay in the 7 and got it right, although Indiana tried to make it close. They got the onside kick, 14 points late with touchdown, onside kick, touchdown. And it was just like, there was only like 20 something seconds left after that. So they didn't get the next onside kick, but yeah, it wasn't a good showing. And people, if you watched the game, you knew that this was not a 10-point game. It was a blowout. And it was, like you said, sort of, it was like big brother sitting on little brother, which in this case, it's like Notre Dame and Indiana in the same state and everything. This was big brother just sitting on little brother and like poking him in the chest and doing whatever they wanted to do. And you let him get a couple licks in at the end of the game just to make him feel better. And then you walk away just dominating. And, Notre Dame looked good. We'll see, what kind of damage they can do going in this one. I mean, the playoff is kind of set up for a team like Notre Dame because you don't get that bye, and the path is going to be a little easier than even like an Oregon, I would think. But, a lot of people thought Indiana had a real shot here. I thought they would be competitive, but I thought Notre Dame would, win by like 10, which is what they did. But it really wasn't competitive, which is a little – and I think Cignetti afterwards said something about like they were like bigger, stronger, faster, or something like that. So you can't take away. They were 3-9 last year. So if you think that
he knows the score, he gets the women. Cignetti kills.
If you don't think it's true, it is still true. I mean, he still kicks ass. He kills, but
didn't kill this game.
Did not kill. This was not not an example of one of his kills.
No.
Didn't get the women. Was
he
killed.
He may have known the score by the end, but he certainly didn't mid game.
He did not. All right. So if you're waiting for any more games we picked right, no, there's none left. So there was one, and I got.
And
that
frankly,
one.
It ended up being kind of close to the spread. I mean, I think it was 7.5 or 7.
We had it 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
It ended up being close. Yeah. I was like, if they get another like onside kick, out of
something
been
stupid. Happens.
That would have been the craziest backdoor, like. Scott Van Pelt would have had to do a whole episode just on the bad beat that was. Like, you're up by, 24 with 1.5 minutes left, and you're only laying 7. That would have been a terrible, terrible, terrible backward cover. Okay, next up, this was weird, watching a game on TNT. Thought they did an okay job, but we have number 6.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Taking on the SMU Mustangs. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of quarterbacks who looked frigid, SMU's Kevin Jennings.
Ooh. Brr.
Let me just, I've got a truism for everyone out there.
Okay.
If you throw pick sixes on 2 of your first 4 drives, you are not going to win a football game.
No. What was his QB rating at that point? Like,
have been 0. It couldn't have been any higher than 0.
Yeah.
I think didn't it take a really long time for him to have a completion, or was that a different game?
He completed like 20 in this one, but I think early on it was like 1 of 6 or 7. Maybe Rourke was that way. Rourke might have only been like 1 of his first.
I think it was a couple of these guys, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Rourke did something.
SMU just, I mean, they did not look. They looked completely outclassed. Penn State's defense was
absolutely nails in this game. And I think the biggest encouraging sign for Penn State fans as this playoff run continues and may continue past this round, because I think, what is it, Boise State next? Penn State, their running game is at the level I think everyone thought it was going to be coming into the year. And not to say it's been bad this year, but with Nick Singleton fully healthy, I mean, he's doing stuff out there that you know, video game Nick Singleton, if anyone's played the CFB 25 game, he's really good. And he's looking like video game Nick Singleton now. And between, you know, him and Catron Allen, they just stomped this team.
Yeah.
It was 28-0 at halftime. It finished 38-10.
It was 14-0 on two pick sixes. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like Penn State was like doing great on offense to start.
But no, Drew Aller didn't play a great game.
No.
But he didn't need to, because their run game, I mean, those two guys, Singleton and Allen, had 160 yards on 25 carries, three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, if you allow them to do that, and you throw two pick sixes in the first four drives of the game, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You know, late they started to, I guess, do some stuff, but it was, I mean, this was a massive blowout. This was probably, of the three games, this is the one that felt the most like mismatched.
Yeah, you should have been there.
Like,
yeah.
Where it was like, oh yeah, this is a complete bloodbath from basically the opening couple of snaps.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And remember, Penn State was without backup quarterback Bo Prabula. He's off to Missouri, so he's going there. So he was a big part of that offense. So, you know, but obviously you didn't need him when you're up that way. But like Singleton, Allen, just running the ball. I think they're both averaged like over 6 yards a carry in the game. Only 14 completions in the, you know, for this one. They're just, you know, Warren had, I think, four catches for 33 yards. He only had like one run for 6 yards. Like, you just didn't need to do much. Like, you weren't sort of like going into your bag of tricks. You're just like, the, you know, they're like, oh, let's hand the ball off and see what happens, because we're already up 14-0. We haven't done dick on offense yet, you know. When it was 28-0 at half, and I think early on, there was a lot of talk about what SMU did down 17 against Clemson and then made this like furious comeback. And that wasn't to be in this one. And that, you know, that was 17 points against a, you know, okay Clemson team, not in a whiteout, you know, in the cold against Penn State on the road. I think did you feel the cold that had an impact here too? I think it kind of did.
It kind of felt like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jennings is a good quarterback. He's not looked that horrible.
He didn't
horrible.
Look very good.
Yeah. And the pick sixes, like, if you were watching this game, they were not good. Like, no. It wasn't like, oh, defender made a great play. It was like, where the hell was he throwing that football?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Good on Penn State. They advance, and they get Boise State next. So, they've got... You know, that's another game where, I mean, we'll talk about it. We're going to do another show, everyone. We're going to do another show on Saturday evening. I think we talked about that up top. But Penn State, just so everyone knows, is already an 11-point favorite over the number 3 seed.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you this format is fucking stupid.
It's
sorry. Sorry, Griffin.
Yeah, sorry, Griffin. I think the two, when Jennings was struggling that much, you're going to try to run the football. 58 yards rushing. I mean, Penn State just... what were the sacks in this one? They had a bunch of sacks, I think, too.
But it made his life hell. It was a ton of hurries too. But yeah, denied Dennis Sutton. He was really good, really, really good.
Yeah, Penn State front I thought was great. They didn't let SMU run the ball, and you feel bad. Like I don't think. I mean, I think SMU should have been in there. There's a lot of talk about should they or shouldn't have or whatever. Like, I think they deserve to be in. But I think the seeding is bad.
This conversation is so stupid. Like, who deserved to be in? It's a 12-team playoff. There's going to be, in any given year, like 9 teams that don't deserve to be in. In the 4-team playoff, there were often 2 teams that did not deserve to be in, if by in you mean capable of winning a national championship.
Yeah.
In any given year, there are 2 to 3 teams who can actually do it, and the rest would have to get inordinately lucky. So what conversation are we having here? Like, you want it to be like the NCAA tournament where, like, a 4 seed can win it? That's not football. Like, one team has bigger, stronger, more athletic guys than the other one, and they've got better schemes or whatever, and they're going to dominate. Like, Georgia and Ohio State are at an entirely different talent level than everyone else, and then it's a step down, and then you can maybe say Oregon, and then it's a step down, and it's everybody else. So, yeah, could another team win it? Sure. But, like, Tennessee, did they deserve to be in there? Eh, we'll get to that in a second. But who else were you going to put in? Alabama? Yeah. They lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They got blown out by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? Miami? Like, what was the other team that you're thinking about putting in there?
Yeah. The teams I'm cool with. I think the seeding could be better for sure. And they'll probably get rid of, like, you know, having like the ASUs of the world getting a bye and all that stuff. I mean, the fact that Oregon has like this really, like, they get this, their first game is against Ohio State, like in the Rose Bowl. Like, okay. You know, not an easy path. Where Penn State, not, you know.
Yeah, it's stupid.
That's kind of dumb. But for the people who are talking about, well, you're getting these blowouts, I believe, maybe it was Tom Fornelli that was talking about this. I forget what it was, like 20 games or something like that. It was like 12 of the 20 for like four playoff, like there were blowouts. There was a lot of blowouts in the 14 playoff than, you know, the first round.
It happens all the time, yeah. Because there's even a huge difference typically. This year is actually kind of rare in that the like top five or six teams are all pretty similar.
Yeah.
But most years there's the number one team and they're a firm cut above number two team, who's a firm cut above the number three team. And the one and
the four
two teams
like terrible.
And the one and two teams are probably going to play each other. Yeah. And it's just, you know, and then, but you do end up with lucky things happening, like TCU making the title game. Hey, what happened to them in that title game?
They got boat raced.
They got murdered.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in football. You know, bad teams can vary occasionally, but nowhere near to the extent of basketball, make a run and do something crazy, but it doesn't. It's not the same sport. Doing a 12-team playoff is not going to change that.
Yeah.
But we can't sit here and say, because SMU lost by 28 to Penn State, they didn't deserve to be there. Who else are you going to put in a 12-team playoff? Because the only other argument you're making is that there shouldn't be a 12-team playoff because they didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And I agree with that. But yeah, let's like be it. Clear about the conversation we're having, because somebody has to be there, and that somebody is more than likely going to lose by four fucking touchdowns to Penn State. Sorry, Griffin.
Well, you get two for Griffin.
No, he gets two, and then isn't it after two that he has to turn it off?
I think he might. Yeah, I think they're out. Yeah. I agree. It's this is a case where you're just going to have these things happen, and it's, you know, it's just part of it. It's part of the way the sport's going to go. The transfer portal has evened things out more, so I do like the fact that there's not just a juggernaut sitting there, because, I mean, Oregon's the number one seed. They're not even favorite in their first game.
Yeah, as predicted, Ohio State, a 2.5-point favorite right now.
Yeah, they look really good, and I kind of, if I was like rooting for something, I kind of want to see Ohio State like win it all and then be like, have the fan base be, was it a good year or not?
that would be the funniest
national
outcome.
Champion, but we lost to Michigan. Like, I want that debate to be happening.
No, what I want to have happen is Boise State on the other side of the bracket. Boise State makes a run. Ohio State gets to the title game, and then they play each other, and somehow Boise State comes out on top.
Wow. If Boise State
that would
wins
be really
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
That would be the funniest outcome, but also not going to happen.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about funny outcomes, it's like you need some upsets, and there were not any so far.
No, we'll have to hope for them.
There
in the
could
next round.
Be some in this round, but there could be a bunch
of. There won't be betting line upsets. There'll be seeding upsets.
Yeah, seeding upsets. Well, there will be seeding upsets, but I just mean like, obviously like ASU's a big underdog, but if like ASU goes and wins, like that's what I'm talking is an upset. Even though they're the 3 or 4 seed or whatever it is, like that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if they win, that's not chalk.
All right, you know, let's move on. We got to get to the next game.
Okay. We have a number 8.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Taking on the Tennessee Volunteers. Guess I'll go on down there and fight with Andy Jackson down in New Orleans. Ohio State, not the first time a bunch of guys from Ohio beat the hell out of a bunch of guys from Tennessee. Ohio State won 42-17. another game where it was pretty obvious very early on that there was a big mismatch here.
Yes.
Ohio State offensively was on another level. Chip Kelly actually did his job for this game.
I was going to say, this looked like he cared.
Yeah.
He went into like living rooms and like talked to parents and like he actually
threw the ball to his like best players.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right away, like little dump offs. Like they were just, they were getting those guys the ball right away.
It was and like, Jeremiah Smith was uncoverable again. And frankly, Emeka Ogbuka was as well. Running game was on point. But he was really, it was passing to set up the run early and it worked really, really effectively. Will Howard, I thought, was very, very good. He threw one pick, but for the most part, he was really, really efficient. And they just, I mean, they smoked him. I mean, it was 21-0 more or less before you could blink.
Three drives, three touchdowns. It was blitzkrieg, like just what? Like Tennessee didn't know what to do.
Yeah. And even on the one, I mean, the one where he threw the pick, they had it down at the Tennessee 20, and it was on a first and 10. Like, they could have scored there. I mean, it was, they had driven all the way down the field before throwing that pick. It would have been 28-0. Yeah, and Tennessee, like, I don't know. I was watching them, you know, Nico Iamaleava wasn't bad, but then you look at his stats,
it's terrible.
Like, holy shit, that guy sucked. But it was like, I was watching him, and I'm like,
he threw 31 early times.
On, early on, it looked like he was scrambling around trying to find something and was probably, like, processing too slow.
Yeah.
But then I'm watching it, like, they were doing some more wide-angle stuff, and I'm like, oh, no, there's nobody open. There's nobody to throw the ball to.
He was 3 1/3 yards per attempt.
It was insane.
31 passes. He only had 104 passing.
No, but their best offense was him running the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he remarkably nimble for a big guy. And their backup running back, Peyton Lewis, because Dylan Sampson got hurt early. Peyton Lewis came in and he looked actually pretty good.
Sampson, I think, only had two carries before he got hurt.
There was a moment where this felt...
Ran it 20 times.
I know. It's insane.
What?
Well, a lot of them were sacks.
Yeah.
but the crazy thing about this game is that there was a moment between the second quarter and the third quarter where it was almost a game. Tennessee had scored twice in the second quarter. Ohio State went on a drought.
It was 21-10
going into halftime. Tennessee got the ball out of halftime. They score there, 21-17. It's a football game. They don't. They punt it almost immediately after getting it back from halftime. And then Ohio State scores touchdown, touchdown, touchdown on their next three drives, and the game is way over.
Yeah.
But another, I thought, just the thing that has carried Ohio State this year is their defense, and it's been elite in basically every game. The thing they can count on is that their defense, and even in the Oregon game, it was pretty damn good. Just, you know, some weird stuff happened. But their defense has been elite all year, and I thought it was again in this game. Tennessee's offense is really good, and it made that offense. I mean, even when Dylan Sampson wasn't hurt at the very beginning of this game, there was nothing going for him. They had keyed entirely on that run. But when Chip Kelly actually shows up and, you know, cares about designing a game plan to actually win a football game, this team is very, very hard to beat.
It looked like... I wanted to just text you while this was going on, and it was all. It's so insulting for the other games when it was just like you felt like he was trying to win a certain way, and this was like, well, let's
get it. Let's just win.
You know, it was like he's finally studied for the exams. He put in the work. He did his labs. Like before, he was just sort of cruising by and getting the grades. Like that's the feeling you got, that he actually gave a crap. Sorry, Griffin, about putting up points. They had, three straight drives in the first half, touchdowns, three in the second half. I mean, they looked really good. And it just seemed like Chip Kelly cared. And but which implies that before it looks like he doesn't care. And sometimes it does. And it's just so weird that, like, if you whip up this assembled talent pool that they've put together, which is amazing – you can do some really great things. And this was, I think, their best game of the year, right? Like they looked as good as, I don't know, any other game they played, I think. But it seemed like Chip Kelly gave a crap, and that was the result. I don't know. Do you think the cold Tennessee got impacted by this a little? I mean, I think it was Ohio State's defense.
I did not get that impression from this one. What I got the impression of is that Ohio State's got a lot they've just got better players.
There's a funny thing. Our buddy Ralph Amsden tweeted out, Northern Illinois can't tweet the final score of their bowl game win over Fresno State because their page got hacked by crypto scammers. So NIU football, it's like big news. We're stepping into the future with the launch of $NIU. Like, how funny is that? Like, you're in a big bowl game and you can't even tweet about it because you got hacked.
Yep.
That's pretty funny. All right. You want to take a break and then we can do previews and do some questions?
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. And those are all the games. I went 1-2 in the picks. David went 0-3. We'll try to do better in the next group. Back in a minute, everybody. All righty. We're back here on the podcast of champions, recapped the first round in the college football playoff. We will preview the next round of the college football playoff this weekend, probably Saturday when I get back from Vegas. And then, but right now there's three bowl games between now and then Saturday morning, there'll be a bowl game. So we'll preview those three for you guys here on the podcast of champions. So we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, David. Bowl. First up, we have. Where is it?
Rutgers, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
Taking on the Kansas State Wildcats. This is Thursday, December 26th, the day after Christmas, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN. Rutgers 7-5, taking on Kansas State 8-4 in the Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona. Kansas State is a 6.5-point favorite. Mm. Kansas State was a much better team this year. Yeah. Rutgers finished strong, but I kind of think Kansas State could win this one by a couple of touchdowns.
Oh.
I think their quarterback, Avery Johnson, he's a little boomer bust, but he is a talented dual threat who can kind of take a game entirely on his own shoulders, and sometimes it turns out poorly, sometimes it turns out great. But I think he'll be able to put some pressure on Rutgers defense in ways that not too many players were able to do this year in the Big Ten. So I like Kansas State to cover here. I think they'll win by like 10 to 14.
Brendan Mott, he had 8.5 sacks for Kansas State. I think he was the Big 12 defensive lineman of the year. I think they lost 3 or the last 4, something like that, and they lost to Arizona State, where Rutgers was more on a, you know, playing a little bit better as the season wore on. But I'm going to go with you on this one, too. I just feel like Kansas State's going to be – they're just a better team throughout the season. So I'm going to go KSU along with you, and we'll see. I mean, that we've seen some of these spreads, bigger spreads get covered pretty easily. I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games where Kansas State wins by like 14 or so. And long trip for Rutgers to play in a bowl game all the way to Arizona. Well, you know, what did they get? Did they come? They came to Los Angeles this year, and then UCLA went to Rutgers, right?
Correct.
So I think this will be a long sort of trip for that. Okay, so we'll both go with Kansas State in this one. This is the game I will be at. We've got
USC Trojans.
They're taking on the Texas A&M Aggies. I'm gardening or something. Maybe this is easier. Who is still playing for USC?
They've had a bunch of guys in the portal. And to be honest, like, I'm covering this game. I haven't even dug into the A&M side of this as much as I should have. I'm starting to do some stuff today. You know, it's the holidays. It's tough to do. And but there's been certainly some defections. I think, you know, not having, you know, Quentin Joyner, who was going to be the starting tailback for next year, you know, with Woody Marks, leaving, and having a couple of your two or three of your top wide receivers out. They're going to rely a lot on I think Mekhi Lemon, who's been there, was their best receiver down the stretch, and Jacoby Lane. So it's going to be a leaner, meaner version, I guess you could say, of USC. Jaden Maiava, you know, looked pretty good against Notre Dame in his last start until the two pick sixes late in the game. So he'll be the starter. They're back, their third string quarterback, because Miller Moss is off to Louisville. Third string quarterback, Jake Jensen, is in the portal, but he's going to stick around. So they will at least have a backup. But yeah, it's kind of thin. They will get Eric Gentry back. So that's cool. He's gonna play in the bowl game, but a lot of dudes out.
All right. This is it's Friday, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. USC 6-6, as prophesied, taking on Texas A&M 8-4 in the Vegas Bowl. Texas A&M is a 3.5-point favorite. On Texas A&M's side, the names that stick out to me of guys they've lost are Nick Scowerton. He's one of their edge rushers, pretty good player. He's opted out for the NFL draft. Cyrus Allen, he's a sometimes starter, mostly backup receiver, but he's pretty solid. Connor Wegman, who lost his starting job this year, but he was, I guess, technically their backup quarterback. No one else really stands out among their absences. USC, obviously, a lot of their receiving core, but not all of it in the portal. Yeah, so Texas A&M had a good, solid year. They were at one time heavily in contention to win the SEC, but they, kind of like Kansas State, lost 3 of 4 to end the year. The only one that was non-competitive was the South Carolina game. They lost a heartbreaker to Auburn by 2 points.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Texas 17-7. But they didn't close the year very strong. Their quarterback's really good. He's young. He's a freshman, Marcel Reed. He is a true dual threat. I think that'll present some challenges for Danton Lynn and the scheme. Getting Eric Gentry back, though, is good. Gentry. That'll help somewhat with that, but who knows how much rust he's shaken off. They'll need somebody athletic back there who can spy sometimes, but also just track him. I think I just like that Texas A&M isn't trying to fit in a bunch of new guys into this rotation, but at the same time, I think USC will benefit somewhat from simplified rotations. You know, guys like Mekhi Lemon might really thrive with not having to share reps and come off the field after every single down so another guy can go on. So I don't know. I mean, I look at USC's defections and I say, that might not actually hurt them that much. It's a crazy thing to say, but like they've lost, what, three really good receivers in Zachariah Branch, Deuce Robinson, and what's the name I'm missing?
Kyron Hudson, yeah.
But they have a bunch of good receivers. You know, this will mean more reps for Mekhi Lemon, who, for my money, was probably their best receiver this year. Like when I was watching USC games, I was like, that guy. You know, Kyron Hudson on a jump ball, but Mekhi Lemon on basically any other play.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth on this one. I think I'm going to take the Aggies, though. But I could absolutely see USC kind of playing a little bit freer with, you know, not dead weight off, but just with, you know, some of these guys gone. They can, you know, there's no expectations here at the end of a lost season. Maybe they just have some fun with it and play well. I don't know. I'm going to go at Texas A&M, though.
All right. I was going to do that. Maybe I'll just go opposite you so we can get a different pick. I'll take USC. It's one of those things where I don't think it's like addition by subtraction, but there's some dudes that you know didn't, that they certainly wouldn't have wanted to go into the portal, but they sort of put it together last year in the bowl game and played pretty well after, with their starting quarterback gone, in the Holiday Bowl. So there's kind of a data point of showing like, hey, Lincoln Riley can get you ready for a meaningless bowl game after you had a disappointing season against a pretty talented opponent. I mean, I think Texas A&M, there's got some, you know, and they have two common opponents for the season, both lost to Notre Dame and both beat LSU. USC beat LSU in the beginning of the season, lost to Notre Dame in the end, and it was sort of the opposite for Texas A&M. But, you know, 3.5, I don't know. Anything can kind of happen here. I could see Texas A&M kind of rolling. You never know, like, motivation factor, but just to mix it up and go different, I'll take USC in this one.
Yeah.
Really for no other reason. That's like, I could have gone either way. I'm like, I'm not sure. Okay, we're going one last one. For the first time since 2016 Planet Bowl game, we've got
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
They are taking on the Boston College Eagles.
Caw! Caw!
That's a crow, but I don't know an eagle sound. This is 9 a.m. on Saturday on ABC. Boston College 7-5 taking on Nebraska 6-6 in the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Nebraska's a 3.5-point favorite. Here's the rundown on guys who are gone. So for Boston College, they're down Thomas Castellanos, who was their starting
quarterback
for most of the year, but not the entire year. Grayson James.
He looked better the last couple games, I think.
Yes. Yeah. He took over. What point did he take over?
I think like two games left or three games left.
No. He was the starting quarterback with the final three games. And then also in September, he started a game.
Okay.
But he looked pretty sharp at the end. So, you know, typically you're like starting quarterback. That's not so good. But he actually looked pretty sharp at the end of the year. Nebraska lost their defensive coordinator and a lot of their defense, particularly on the defensive line, but also at linebacker. There's a lot of guys in the portal. I don't know how many of them are significant parts, but I remember writing a lot of these guys' names in previews, so I think it's a good amount. Boston College was a remarkably solid team this year. They played a lot of very competitive games. They nearly beat Missouri back when that meant something. they didn't get blown out a whole lot. They lost at SMU by 10. And, you know, SMU was a playoff team, deservedly so. And, you know, they mostly played a very competitive season where they were pretty solid throughout. I mean, they beat Florida State at the beginning of the year. Don't pay attention to what happened to Florida State after that, but they beat them. I think I like Boston College here.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Nebraska without Tony White, with, you know, some defensive defections. And I think Boston College will come in with a good game plan. They've been a solid team all year, and I think a solid team could beat a team that's maybe in a little bit of flux. So yeah, give me Boston College.
I'm going to too. It's, not that far of a trip for BC playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. And I just feel like they've played better, like in the final stretch going in. Nebraska, well, they had a couple losses, but then they get that big win to get to 6-6 and become bowl eligible. So I think there'll be some excitement there, not having played in a bowl in a long time. But as like a 3.5-point favorite, I would think it's more of a coin flip kind of game. So I'm going to go with you and take BC as well. I should probably just go opposite, but I'll take BC getting the 3.5 points. They get to play in the hated Yankee Stadium for the people, for the Mackies from Southie and stuff. They don't want to go down there, but yeah.
Wow.
You like that? All right. So three games coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Saturday, I'll probably have it going in the car as I'm driving home from Las Vegas. So that'll be cool. I won't watch. I'll just be listening.
Beautiful.
I might peek over a little bit. I do have the self-driving thing, so I can like take a little look. Cool. All right. I think we have some questions, right?
I think we had a couple.
We have Oxnard Steve sent us a text message. Rooting for the Trojans for well over half a century. I grew up hating Ohio State, Woody Hayes, stickers on helmets, etc. And yet I found myself sort of kind of rooting for the Buckeyes against Tennessee, as was I. I want our conference to do well and look good doing it. Oh, how I wanted the Fighting Cignettis to beat those crying Irish. My allegiance easily shifted from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, and now I absolutely hate for the SEC to do well. Funny how college football makes for strange bedfellows, and I love the expanded playoff. Now I have to root for the Ducks. This stuff is killing me, but I love it. Oxnard Steve.
I have no problem rooting for Oregon. I have no hangups about it.
None.
I understand for Washington fans that makes sense, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't really understand like the general like loathing of Oregon. Like, okay, yeah, Phil Knight buys stuff. That's fine. So do lots of guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, USC has a bunch of like unnamed like I don't know private equity ghouls who are doing it. At least you know Phil Knight makes shoes. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he pays a fair wage to get those.
I mean,
made.
They're sweatshops, but like nobody gets money. Nobody gets a great amount of wealth by doing good things,
true,
right?
Yeah.
Ohio State, I'm sure they've got some benefactors who are like, I don't know, drilling into the earth and taking out all the natural resources. And that's fine. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, what is the reason really for hating Oregon?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you look into it, like,
they haven't won anything. Like, they haven't won a title. It's not like they're, you know.
And they're not even favored in their first game. Like,
they're not Alabama.
What kind of season is going to be if Oregon, like, loses in the first? Like, you go undefeated, you beat Ohio State, you win the Big Ten, and it's like you lose to a team you already beat.
I mean, I think it's still an elite, obviously awesome year. But, yeah, I mean, I think at this point they've got, like, always a bridesmaid type syndrome. But, like, not even always, like, the maid of honor, but, like, the third bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know. They're making it, but not quite getting anywhere with it. But anyway,
what's that? Yeah, what's
we'll see. Maybe
big,
they can win.
Isn't the big UCLA booster like the guy that like made a lot of money from like clubbing baby seals and selling skincare products or something? Was that true? Did I read that somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
Did I just make that up?
No, but Casey Wasserman, if you Google him, he's got some fun stuff in there.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
I was
all right.
Kidding on that.
This is from Frank in Sacramento. These games stunk. These games stunk. Time to go to 8 games. Yeah. What we need is more. We need more. Yeah, after watching this, the big conclusion is we need more of this.
Yeah. No, I mean
the solution is to just get rid of the playoff.
I like the playoff, and I think the seeding will get changed. I kind of agree with Nick Saban on this one, and just boom, you know, I think it'll be better. You're going to get some blowouts, but there's going to be some fun ones too. When you get that upset, we didn't get any of the upsets this year.
Uh-huh.
And they were night games. You know, the other thing I thought about is Ohio State, David. Like, didn't they play every freaking game at 9 a.m.? Like, finally they get a night game, you know, and they get, you know, they don't have to wake up.
They just needed to play at night.
Maybe. Like, holy cow. Like, they played so much better at night. I mean, but yeah, no, I you're going to get, you had a lot of cold weather games at night. Crazy road environments. And it was tough, you know. But you know, dude, there was a lot of Tennessee fans there at that game. Like the Rocky Top and everything. Having a, you know, formerly been married to a big Tennessee fan, like you know a lot of that stuff. Those fans brought it. And then they were like decimated. So
yeah, I mean that was pretty cool that it was like it felt like half and half in that stadium. Watching the crowd, it was obviously quite a bit more like 80-20, but I think loudness was certainly Tennessee.
You could hear like the Rocky Top.
Well, like when Ohio State was on offense, it was like, oh, they might have to go to a silent count. Like this is like it was loud.
Yeah. And they were crushing Kirk Herbstreit. Did you hear the criticism of that? Did you like people were like really being critical of Herbie, like because he was kind of taking down Indiana. But
well, one thing I'll say is having watched now a lot of Fox telecast and now watching ESPN and like I don't have a dog in the fight really, but the ESPN stuff is much more SEC partisan than the Fox stuff is Big Ten partisan. It's crazy. And it's interesting because game day as like a institution is much less partisan in that it'll go to any kind of site. But the way they talk even during the telecast about SEC teams is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Alabama had no business being in any playoff. If you expanded this to 16 teams, they shouldn't have been in. Like they lost horribly to a couple of teams that are not good. So I'm just I was kind of thrown by that. And somebody found a little thing from Herbstreit when he was arguing the other side of things literally like 7 years ago when Alabama got in over Ohio State that had Ohio State had a better had a better resume, but Alabama got in because of its, you know, perceived strength or vice versa or whatever it was. And he was arguing the opposite of what he said this time. It's just, it's pure. We have a contract with SEC, so motivated reasoning. And I don't think it's disingenuous. I think what it is, well, okay, I know we cover a lot of SEC, so and I'm around the SEC a lot more, so I will, you know, and not even consciously, I will, you know, be a little bit more on their side. But
if you're going to like trash Indiana for like they shouldn't have been there, it's like, Tennessee got blown out.
It's a ridiculous point.
Yeah,
because
Indiana was
is there a mythical team that would have fit better there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Alabama lost 24-3 to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What would have happened if they'd played Notre Dame? They probably would have lost by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because they're not very good this year. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, and we'll get into it a little bit more when we get into the next previews, but like how the SEC holds up, because I got a theory they're not going to hold up that well.
They might not, you know.
But anyway, here, I'll read the last one because that one was short. Okay. This is from POC Jock. Ryan, quote, reality Abraham mentioned he filmed a reality show in Texas without sharing what the show was. Please tell.
Oh, it was called Worst Case Scenario. There used to be these books. So this was over 20 years ago. There's like a board game and books called Worst Case Scenario. And it would put you, like, it would tell you, like, hey, if you're in quicksand, what do you need to do to survive? So it was kind of like a survival thing. And it was on TBS. And I did one segment where they put me in a situation where there was a lot of bees. So there was like bees all over and stuff. And it was kind of crazy. It was a fun experience. It was like right after, like soon after 9/11. So I flew in like October. So it was like pretty dead at the airport. And I didn't know where it was going. They flew me to Austin and then to some like farm. They drove me out to some beekeeper thing. And then I was like put in this scenario with a bunch of bees. So it was only like 7 or 8 minutes on the show. It was fun. It was fun to do. And then every once in a while, I'll get a check for like a penny for like residuals for like stuff from that. So
great.
Yeah.
Three questions. Okay. Now on to the questions. One.
David could care less, by the way.
Yeah, I loved hearing every minute of it. You both are selected to compete against one another in a reality show. Which existing or newly created by you show are you competing in to crush your fellow host?
A reality show.
I don't watch any reality television.
Yeah. Like, are we talking like game show? Like, I've already crushed Price is Right, so I would pick that because I can do that one. But if it's like reality, so like The Bachelor or something. What the hell? Survivor.
Survivor?
Maybe Big Brother, something like that. Like maybe. If we were in a house.
I've never watched any of it.
You have it?
The Amazing Race. Was that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. That's good. I could do the travel stuff. I don't know. I think I'd be pretty decent at all those. Is there one that you...
I haven't watched any of them. I have no idea what's entailed. Survivor, you got to survive.
Well, all of them have like competitions, you know, mm-hmm. and some of them are dumb. Some of them are like memory. Like, so some have physical.
I'm insanely competitive.
Yeah. So you'd want to do this stuff. Would you rather be running around like trying to find the next bus to Istanbul and, you know, trying to speak whatever language it is to get a tuk-tuk somewhere? Or would you rather like be trapped in a house and, play psychological games with the people in there and lie.
Oh, number two, obviously.
Okay, you'd rather do that, like in the house. So, okay,
yeah, Big Brother.
You would probably do Big Brother. Yeah. Okay. I might do Amazing Race or Survivor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two. Right. Same deal, but now you are competing with one another as a team.
So, like,
I think that's Amazing Race.
That would be kind of fun. So, people that get along, I think like our brains would probably work pretty well.
It wouldn't
be like freaking out like we got on the wrong train or like it would just sort of be like, all right, well, let's figure this out. Like, do this, do that.
Yeah. Pure synergy.
I think so.
Three, what was your audition tape to be selected for either show? I don't know what that question means.
So if you're going to like, hey, I'm going to apply for Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm David Woods. You have to like film yourself like doing, you know, whatever. And got like it. Why you would be good at that.
I don't know.
So I didn't do one for that, the one show I was on, but they came around the beach and they were like taking people's pictures and asking some questions and then bring you in for interviews and stuff. So that's what I did. Oh, I think we had a voicemail left over from last time, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Let me play it.
Hello, Brian. Hello, it's Lower Dave. That's right, too. President, not your fan. I'm at an undisclosed airport location, so I have to be a little bit quiet. But that you're just glowing. Both of you should just be glowing over the portal, what's happening in the portal. I saw UCLA had a big acquisition today, probably USC, with all your funding and your quality coach guys must be killing it. So congratulations. I kind of wanted to talk about scheduling. I was noticing that Stanford had more top 27 wins than Texas, Indiana, and who was Penn State combined at two. And just noticing how rough this Cardinal schedule was, four trips to the East Coast. They had a 9:30 start time in Carolina State. They played five teams coming off of byes, which has to be some kind of record. So just curious if we look at the Big Ten schedule next year, who do you think might be the biggest baller in terms of not having as favorable schedule as they did this year, like in Indiana? And who do you think could be a big riser based on the schedule, how it plays out? Anyway, I got to go. Keep your media over, boys.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I think we were supposed to do some research, and we didn't do that.
No, we didn't. I know Indiana has to go at Oregon and Penn State next year, so they'll be falling.
Washington has, I think, five games, or maybe six, like playing Big Ten teams coming off byes. That's not good. I know that. That's a schedule quirk that's not good for Washington.
Yes, that is double plus ungood. I think Oregon, if I'm reading this right, I think Oregon sets up for a really nice year. They have to go at Penn State, but otherwise, pretty manageable schedule. I think they go, I think it's at Iowa, maybe, is their other road game that could be difficult, but otherwise, it's pretty manageable. Ohio State, I would say, also a pretty manageable schedule. So I think we'll be looking at those two again, probably pretty deep in competition for the playoff. Michigan, again, I would say relatively manageable. They don't have Penn State again. Their road games are not too terrible. They could bounce back. Iowa is, it's going to be a little bit tougher. They do have to play Indiana. They get Penn State. They have Oregon. They got to go at USC. So I think their tough times will continue. And I don't know if there's an immediate bounce back on the horizon for Wisconsin, but their schedule does look, I don't know, reasonable.
They got...
they don't have to play Ohio State is basically what I'm saying.
But they're playing... No, they do.
Oh, Wisconsin they do. Plays I'm seeing that now.
Yeah. Ohio State and Oregon back-to-back.
Okay. Not manageable. They're going to die. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
Michigan,
I think
Iowa.
I think you'll see Michigan get better. Yeah. I think you'll see Indiana get worse schedule or record wise. But I think it sets up for Ohio State and Oregon to both have pretty gaudy records again.
So Wisconsin has like a couple easy games, and then Alabama, Maryland, and then a bye. Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State at Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State at Oregon. And then they have Washington after another bye, Washington, Indiana, Illinois, and Minnesota.
So the thing I would say, and this is just kind of generally, we're not going to have a feel for any of this really until we get to probably next summer, because there's just so much flux with a lot of teams with
like, yeah, the portal.
Who even knows what USC is going to look like? Who knows what Indiana is going to look like?
Yeah.
We don't even know what their quarterback is at this point. So we'll have some more information, and even then it's kind of fraught because we thought Indiana was going to be solid this year. Nobody predicted they were going to go 11-2.
No.
You don't know. So we'll see, but yeah, I would say Michigan on the rise probably, and Indiana probably falling a little bit.
Indiana, so they have three, like their logo games to start the season. I don't even know what they are, so they're like three terrible, terrible games. And they play out of Oregon also, so that's a tough one. But the rest of it, they got, you know, at Penn State. So yeah. It's like, eh. Purdue can bounce back, right? I don't know.
Mm.
They play Notre Dame again early. Mm. They have Ohio State also. Michigan, yeah. Mm. That's probably not good.
No.
But thank you for that question.
All right. Are we done?
I think we're done. Anything else? Anything from the chat? Sorry, I didn't put the couldn't put the stuff up from the chat today, but
nothing major. Let's get the heck out of here.
All right, we're gonna wrap it all up. You tired?
I am.
Are you gonna enjoy the cookies? You want to show the cookies?
I
made you some cookies. You know, yay!
See them.
This is the first year I'm not like going back east for see my family and stuff, because like my family had come out here earlier, and my mom like has a tradition of making like a crap ton of different kind of Christmas cookies. So I made like four different. They all came out good. So I'm pretty happy with them. I love eating sweets. So like you have to be good at baking if you like sweets, because then you got to make them. And so hopefully you enjoy them, David.
I will. And, thank you so much.
And the gift card from John Abrea.
John Abrea. What a man.
Very nice. Yeah. So we'll have some $42 gift cards coming in for Trader Joe's. If you guys want some, leave us a 5-star review. Make it very funny so we'll read it and laugh. And then we'll say, we're going to send you a gift card. But for David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.